Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and maybe a Mr. A Twisted Mr. or two. Wow. Hey, Pam, how are you tonight? And hey, Naomi.
Hi.
Hey, doing
how
great.
Are you?
Good to hear you both.
Very good. Very good. Yes.
Yeah.
So, we're here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
we do have a call.
And it's going to be an awesome show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just got in an hour ago, so.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I traveled 7 hours today.
Oh, cool. You go? Was it just a trip to go see your parents?
Yeah. So I traveled back. The trip to go up was awful. Like, we were in the middle of a snowstorm. Like, my daughter was driving, and we had to curl her fingers off the steering wheel when we arrived because she was so stressed out, and she had sore back and sore arms. It was awful. We couldn't see anything, like, going up. But coming back, it was okay, you know. It was a nice day.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's glad you all stayed safe.
Yeah, we had a fun time at the motel and at the pool and with the kids, and yeah, tired,
awesome.
But okay.
Yes, so I'm glad to hear that. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, happy Women's Day to both of you and to all women out there. Yes, National
That's
Women's Day, day to celebrate
mm-hmm.
women. Yes. And so in honor of that, we chose to run a contest where I chose 7 different women artists and artwork and quotes from all of them, or gave people the option of writing to their favorite, female artist. And I don't want to go into extensive detail of each one of the artists, but I do want to do a quick rundown of them. And then people who want to know more about any one of them can do some research after the show at their, at their own leisure. Okay, so with that being said, the artist that I chose because they appealed to my personal taste was Rosa Bonheur, who was a French artist, a realist painter and sculptor who mostly focused on animals. Mary Cassatt, an American painter and printmaker who was part of the Impressionist movement. Kay Sage, an American surrealist artist most known for her art that had an architectural nature and theme. Then Harriet Powers, who was actually born and spent her childhood, most of her childhood in slavery. She was an American folk artist and quilt maker, most famous for pictorial quilt and Bible quilt, which are considered the best examples of Southern quilting, or I should say some of the best examples. Marianne North was an English biologist and botanical artist who was known for extensive travels throughout the world to study plants. Louise Goyce, a French-American, best known for large-scale sculptures and installation art, but was also a prolific painter and printmaker. She's not formally affiliated with any artistic movement. She did often focus on themes of domesticity, family, sexuality, the body, death, and the unconscious. Her artwork was often connected to events from her childhood, and she considered her art to be therapeutic for herself. And then last was Tamara de Lempicki, a Polish artist who spent her working life in America and France and best known for her Art Deco style, portraits of aristocrats, and stylized nudes. So those are the women artists I chose to put up to inspire people. But as I said, we had people who also chose their own particular women artists that inspired them. And what about you, Naomi? Do you have a favorite woman artist?
I have to go with Maya Angelou, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very
yeah,
cool. Yes.
I always admired her, you know, quite a lot. Yeah, for all that she did and her presence, just her presence. And yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely a fine example of a strong woman. I was looking for, you know how sometimes you like run a contest, you look for a header picture that, you know, for the contest. I found this picture of this book cover, and the book was titled Danger, Women Artists at Work. And I thought, you know what, I that is just so perfect, you know. Instead of seeing, you know, them as the softer sex, putting the word danger, you know, like, uh-oh, watch out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Women
that was
with
perfect.
A yeah, I liked yeah. it. I liked it. It really amused me. But, yes, and we've got a great full board tonight. I'm really looking forward to all the poetry, hanging out with you, and, of course, other cool poets. And with that being said, before we proceed on to the show, I'd like to welcome Truth Chills. Welcome, Truth.
Hi.
I'm glad you could join
Hi.
Us.
Hi.
Good to Yeah. How are you?
Hello.
I'm good. I'm, you know, just surviving, and I missed you guys, and so I've been writing again, so I decided to jump right back in and see if get my feet wet again.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
Nice
All right.
to meet you.
and this is Naomi. And
Hi,
Naomi, this is Truth Chills.
Hello.
Hello. Glad that you phoned.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to put up an intro poem that I chose, which is Interlude, Songs Out of Sorrow by Sarah Teasdale. And I'll go ahead and give this a read. From naked stories of agony, I will build a house for me. As a mason all alone, I will raise it stone by stone. And every stone where I have bled will show a sign of dusky red. I have not gone the way in vain, for I have good of all my pain. My spirit's quiet house will be built of naked stones I trod on roads where I lost sight of God. I would not have a God come in to shield me suddenly from sin and set my house of life to rights, nor angels with bright burning wings ordering my earthly thoughts and things. Rather, my own frail, guttering lights, wind-blown and nearly beaten out. Rather, the terror of the nights and long, sick groping after doubt. Rather, be lost than let my soul slip vaguely from my own control. Of my own spirit, let me be, in soul, through feeble mastery. Unless I learn to ask no help from all, any other soul but mine, to seek no strength in waving reeds, nor shade beneath a straggling pine. Unless I learn to look at grief, unshrinking from her tear-blind eyes, and take from pleasure fearlessly whatever gifts will make me wise. Unless I learn these things on earth, why was I ever given birth? When I have ceased to break my wings against the faultiness of things, and learn that compromises wait behind each hardly open gate. When I can look life in the eyes, grow calm and very coldly wise, life will have given me the truth and taken in exchange my youth. This is the spot where I will lie when life has enough of me. These are the grasses that will blow above me like a living sea. These gale lilies will not shrink to draw their life from death of mine, and I will give my body fire to make blue flowers on this vine. O soul, I said, have you no tears? Was not the body dear to you? I heard my soul say carelessly, the myrtle flowers will grow more blue. I heard a wood thrush in the dusk twirl the three notes and make a star. My heart that walked with bitterness came back from very far. three shining notes were all he had, and yet they made a starry call. I thought life back against my breast and kissed its scars and all. From my spirit's gray defeat, from my pulse's flagging beat, from my hopes that turned to sand, sifting through my close-clenched hand, from my own false slavery, if I can sing, I am still am free. For with my singing I can make a refuge for my spirit's sake, a house of shining words to be, my fragile immortality. End poem. And I have to say, I thought that was an absolutely beautiful poem. And Sarah Teasdale is one of my absolute favorites. She was her style was considered confessional, even though the term confessional poetry didn't come out until later. And what I particularly liked about this vignette that she wrote, first of all, has a wonderful rhyme and flow. And I like that it's about a woman discovering that she can become stronger and learn to be independent through the thing, you know, the hardship that life throws at her. And I like how it also takes a look at how we can learn from nature and how we can learn that through our death, nature gets life. I like that she takes a look at that we're fragile in our mm-hmm. you know, we are fragile, our bodies are fragile, and yet our spirits can sing. Just a stunning write, and I thought a great way to open up the International Women's Day show. And Naomi, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Yeah, well, this is amazing. What an amazing choice here, Pam. I mean, you know, every part of this talks of, you know, strength here. You know, even strength in accepting, you know, life's end and that, you know, that will go on. But, you know, from the first lines, you know, from naked stones of agony, I will build a house for me. You know, I will raise it stone by stone, and every stone where I have bled will show a sign of dusky red. You know, she's going to build herself up, herself, you know, nobody else, just herself. And she goes back to that often. You know, in the poem, there's a couple of lines there where, you know, she's talking about having faith in herself and, you know, and just showing so much strength throughout this whole poem there. I just love this poem. It's amazing.
Absolutely. I like that you pointed out that she goes back to the theme of herself, on relying on herself and, you know, being independent. So great observation
mm-hmm.
there. And Truth, your thoughts on this classic poem?
I think this is an awesome poem. I think she says so much here in just this few verses, you know, and she set it out again with the stone by stone. And she recognizes that to build, you have to build from, you know, the bottom up, you know, stone by stone. And you have to be, you know, you have to show, because you won't appreciate what you build if you don't put anything into it, you know. And then she goes on to say, you know, that she will have no God. She will not have a God come in to shield me, send me from sin. She's taking responsibility for her actions and knowing that there's consequences to the things that she's probably done in life. And that one of my favorite parts is she said, "I'd rather be lost than vague from my own control." I can relate to that, you know, because if you're lost, you can be found. But if you slip away, nobody's going to find you because you just slip away. You become nothing anymore. You can't find yourself. But if you, mm-hmm. you know, if you just let go sometimes, you'll find your way back. You know, and then she goes on to say that my heart that walked with bitterness came back from very far. So she's recognizing that sometimes we have to, you know, sometimes it's just life takes us to places that we don't want to be. Mentally, emotionally, physically, all of the above. And sometimes we find ourselves in not a good place, you know, and, you know, frail, you know, and windblown and nearly beaten out, you know, instead of, you know, falling back on excuses is what I'm getting here. She takes responsibility for her actions, and she goes on to say, you know, at the end, or almost to the end, she says that unless I learn to ask, no help from any other soul but mine, to seek no strength in waving reeds, nor shade beneath the straggling pine. Unless I learn to look at grief, unshrinking from her tear-blind eyes, and take for pleasure fearlessly whatever gifts will make me wise. And unless I learn these things on earth, why was I ever given birth? So she's realizing that, yes, we can be independent all day long, but we need other people in our lives. We have to have you know, other people's point of view. You know, we have to have advice from wiser people because we're all different ages. We all have lived different parts of life, and I think all of us have something to give. So I applaud her for her honesty, for her for burying her soul. That's how I feel. She did a really great job.
Absolutely. Well said there, Truth. Thank you.
Thanks.
And up next we have Walking the Edge by Betty Page. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. Walking the Edge by Betty Page. I'm up, oh, so high, just walking along life's edge, caressing its curves, blurry, jet black heart, abandoned, though I'm phoenix, I reside in flames, flickering vengeance, as my sadness turns to hate, I'm lost in gardens, paints, rainbows and skies, where total darkness consumes wine, intoxicates, strolls concrete jungles, rides elevators and skies all made of fine glass, in golden cages, singing enchantments so sweet, Tropicana swings, sipping love's absinthe, seductive nature yet stings, heart so addictive, I'm up, oh, so high, just walking along life's edge, caressing its curves, blurry, jet black heart, abandoned, though I'm phoenix, I reside in flames. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and what a wonderful write by Betty Page. She wrote to the quote by Tamara de Lempicka, I live life in the margins of society, and the rules of normal society don't apply to those who live on the fringe. And Truth, your thoughts on Betty's poem?
I can relate. I guess I can relate to pretty much everybody if I put, you know, my mind to see where the heart is coming from. But I can take the first part where she says, I'm up so high, just walking along life's edge, caressing its curves. I've done that, and sometimes I fall, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's, you know, it's just attempt, you know, fate, and sometimes it's really seeking guidance. And, you know, I think that it's everything that we put into it. You know, when we go and we look for things at the edge, sometimes things at the edge are unknown, you know, and you could be a pioneer of that, or you could be a victim, you know. So it's very dangerous to be at that place. And she says that, flickering vengeance as my sadness turns to hate, I'm lost in gardens. And that, I can relate to that, because that in itself is a tomb, you know, and it's hard to get back from that place. But, you know, I believe that everybody is able to eventually, you know, come out of that. And thank God for the poetry, because if you guys weren't there, we probably wouldn't have nowhere to share these things that, you know, are deep in our hearts. And I think she did a really great job of bringing it out there. Thank you.
Absolutely. I like how you mentioned the idea of bringing oneself to the edge and not knowing what to expect. So great observations there. And Naomi, you read that wonderfully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just reading her I am here. I reside in flames means several things. One is I reside in love, though love has stung and hurt me. Love prevails as a phoenix. my inspiration was the blurry image, the lady in her artwork, and the quote in prompt 13. Okay, so she says, she is talking about living, loving, and prevailing all into this poem in so many beautiful metaphors here. I was just captivated as I was reading it. Just the lines, I'm up, so high, just walking along life's edge, caressing its curves. You know, there's just something about just that stanza there, and then she finishes it. She has it there, and the second to last stanza again there. You know, there's just something about that stanza there, and she brings in the phoenix into it. You know, which gives it such a mystical feeling throughout it, but you feel the strength through this poem, just as an aura of strength in it. You know, the blurry jet black heart abandoned, though I'm Phoenix, I reside in flames. Just something in those lines there. Just a beautiful write throughout by Betty Page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful observations. And yeah, those stanzas you picked out were particularly strong ones. I did like Stroll's concrete jungles, rides, elevators, and skies all made of fine glass. I like how this is about somebody who discovers their own strength, their own rebirth through the trials that life puts them through. You know, that they go through their dark periods, flickering vengeance as my sadness turns to hate. I'm lost in gardens. Wonderful, just strong imagery all the way through, and truly is a write about finding one's own strength and moving forward. Beautifully written and very well done. And let's see, what do we have next? All right. Up next, we have your poem, Truth. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Thank you so much. So I picked a prompt, I believe it was number 4. I think. Did I put it in? I always forget to put the prompt in there. It was, if I remember correctly, shake, you know, don't shake the tree if you're not willing to pick, you know, up the pieces or pick up what falls. And I could relate to that. So I called it Shake It or Leave It. I believe life without a shake can only lead to falling to the mundane. It is necessary for me to have a change of scenery. Change is never easy, but remaining the same is dangerous for all involved. It is critical for a person to find themselves. Shaking just any tree is not what I mean, because it just might be out of your league. What one may find easy and safe for another, it could cause too much strife. There's a saying that says, walk a mile in my shoes. I say, heck no, because I have way too much to lose. I can't afford a sucker punch in areas too rough to bring up. Maturity plays a big part in this ruse, because you have to be able to take what is given and play by the rules. Being able to pick up what falls from your tree means taking a good look at yourself in the mirror with total honesty. This is not easy. This is not an easy thing to see. It involves choosing and taking responsibility. Because if you don't, what was meant to bless is now a curse. What was meant to shake you into the next level of your life has now become a crutch. You look around and realize you're stuck. The fact of the matter is, if it's not easy to pick up at age 52 what was supposed to be done at 22. Why? Because by that time, pride steps in and says, I don't need to do that to succeed. It's a vicious cycle, hard to break free, so be careful when you shake and from what tree. End poem. Mm.
Great read there, Truth. Thank you very much. I'm glad you were inspired. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just love Truth. There is a saying that says, walk a mile in my shoes. I say, heck no, because I have way too much to lose. I can't afford a sucker punch in areas too rough to bring up. And then after, you know, you go right into maturity plays a big part in this rules, because you have to be able to take what is given and play by the rules. And I love the metaphor of the tree. You know, the tree there, you know, a tree which has roots, you know, that go way, way, way down. And, you know, those roots are formed, the tree is formed from roots that, you know, that we gather through all our life, you know, those roots. And I think that's an excellent, excellent metaphor, you know, all that maturity, all that knowledge over time, all that insight, if you want, you know, you've taken it out of your life trials and the things you went through in life. It formed your roots. It formed the growth of the tree, and you know you end it by, so be careful when you shake, and from what tree. So I think that was awesome that you used tree in there. And I think this is just an amazing rite, you know, showing it, the maturity is very important, and all the experiences that one goes through in life, and to show your strength through this poem. So I really appreciate it. It's an amazing rite here, Truce.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Great comment, Naomi. And I'm glad you were inspired. I really like the title, Shake It or Leave It. And this is a great rite all the way through, but strong lines and opening up. I believe life without a shake can only lead to falling to the mundane. It is necessary for me to have a change of scenery. Change is never easy, but remaining the same is dangerous. I like how you point out to us that it's not easy to change, but it is necessary to grow as a person. I also, you know, like that you say maturity plays a big part in this ruse, because you have to be able to take what is given and play by the rules. And then where you mentioned the fact of the matter is it's not easy to pick up at age 52 what was supposed to be done at 22. Why? Because by that time, pride steps in and says, I don't need to do that to succeed. And I like how you mentioned that pride can often be a downfall in our own personal growth. You know, and that, yeah, I like that you use the extended metaphor of shaking that tree, you know, of breaking free and getting away from the mundane. I thought was just a wonderful topic to touch on throughout this theme, to touch on throughout this whole poem. And it's very well done. And is there anything you wanted to say about your poem?
Everything that I write, I don't just run through and pick a poem and I'm going to write on this because I like this topic. And sometimes I may think the topic's cool, but I have nothing that I can say about it. I have to be erasing the poem because it doesn't sound right to me. But when I find one that really, you know, it helps me to bring out what I'm dealing with in this moment, in this time in my life, I can go back and read it and say, okay, I know where I was at when I wrote that. You know, and this one here, it was pretty deep because, you know, shaking the tree, it, like I said, is dangerous. You never know, you know, what's going to fall out if you're ready to deal with it. And that's kind of where I went, where, you know, I had a habit when I was young. I thought maybe I can shake somebody else's tree or try to be like them or try to pick up somebody else's gifts. And see, God didn't give me the strength for those gifts. He gave me grace for my own gifts. You know, and I wasted a lot of time and energy, and it caused a lot of pain to myself and to others because I was trying to fill somebody else's shoes. You know, and that's not possible. And it took me a long time to realize that, and that stems from not having really the person or the people to look up into my life and say, hey, you know what, I want to be like that person, like my mom or my dad, or, you know, or there, that part of me wasn't fulfilled as a child. So I had to I was trying to substitute something that there's no way in the world I could have done substituting. I just had to learn to accept that that wasn't given to me, but this was, you know, the ability to read deeper into it and to share with other people that, you know, be careful because, you know, like I said, I can't afford a sucker punch, you know, because it brings up stuff that I'm not ready to deal with. You know, I have a lot of things in my life that I'm sure until it's time for me, you know, to go to, you know, when I pass away, I still have thousands of things that I need to deal with, you know, but today I overcame this one and tomorrow maybe I'll come overcome that one. And if not, maybe I'll help somebody else, you know, and
absolutely.
I appreciate you guys being there. You know, you guys have, when you said, who's your favorite woman? Who do you look up to? Well, I have to say
Maya Angelou was what Naomi said.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Maya Angelou.
I think that, you know, there's different kinds of people you can look up to. I look up to you. You're there every night, you know, or when it's your turn to go on you know, on air and you fulfill your commitment to us, you know, whenever you put your name up there, you're there. So I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate you, Pam. I know I haven't been really around, maybe not to get on air, but I do read, you know, your poems and I do listen when I can, you know, and I just want to thank you for helping me do some dark times too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, we're happy to be able to provide inspiration and to do these shows and happy to know that you, when you can, you're able to listen. And of course, as you know, you're always appreciated and welcome to call in when you can. And, thank you very much.
And, I just want to share a food for thought real quick, just in case you didn't know this. The very first poet, woman poet, her name was Enheduanna. She was from Sumerian city, and it was over 4,200 years ago. That was the very first woman recorded poet. So I decided to throw in there.
Yes. Very cool. Yes, I read about her before. Yeah, she definitely would be one that might be interesting to do a show on. That would be cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pam. I got to get to cooking dinner, but I appreciate you guys. You have a blessed night, okay? I'll see you guys soon.
Absolutely. Take care. Have a good dinner.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
And up next, we have Incy Wincy Spider by Eric Svensson. And we do have a SoundCloud for that.
Inky Winky Spider. It's in the pruning or in the tuning. Winter vineyard prune ensures summer grape boon. Squeaky guitar string tweak. Plectrum plucked melody peak. Manipulation without intervention. Art imitates life. Pivotal points always rest on fulcrum decision. How much to prune or tune? Big Bang creative spark resides within human DNA. FDA determined to regulate. Control presented art aphrodisiac. Fundamental urge for co-creation irrepressible. Lightning strike, paintbrush cracks darkness. Prune, tune, even exhume fossilized thought. Deepest delve into subconscious oceans in search of coelacanths. By Jove, Daddy Long Legs Spider holds Lilliputian skyline ransom. World Wide Web controls our darling brave new world, doesn't it? Art goes beyond conspiracy theories. Manipulation without intervention. Prune, tune, exhume, and reinvent. Big Bang DNA spark within wills something new under sun, moon, and stars. precision's indecision. Pivotal point rests on feeling's fulcrum. Intuit, check. Either add or subtract. Brilliant art always evokes gut-wrench emotional response. End poems.
Great reading right there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call into the shows, then the next best thing is to record your poem so that we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And he was actually inspired by a piece of artwork by Louise Burgoy, which was, I don't remember if it had a specific title, but it was a piece of installation art, a sculpture of a spider that was 40 feet tall. And, I really thought he just had, as always, creative imagery and metaphors. I like how he brings in the sound of squeaky guitar string tweak, plectrum plucked melodies, manipulation without intervention. Art imitates life. I like how he puts in the idea of the squeaky guitar strings, with the idea of kind of, to me, it speaks on the shape, not only the shape of the spider's legs, but I believe that the artwork itself was actually, and a lot of our artwork was made out of wire, if I remember right. I'll have to check on that. But I like manipulation without intervention. The artist and many artists manipulate their material and yet at the same time work with it. Prune, tune, evic, zoom, fossilized thought, deepest delve into subconscious oceans in search of cool camps. To me, I like that touches on how she oftentimes wrote on themes of the subconscious, of how oftentimes her artwork conveyed her deepest thoughts. And what a strong ending. I mean, this is wonderful all the way through, but that line, brilliant art always evokes gut-wrench emotional response, and that is so true. I mean, because think about the fact that people are already quite afraid of spiders being, you know, as small as they are. And to see a 40-foot spider, can you imagine standing under that and the kind of emotional response it would spark? Really a wonderful write all the way through and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, I really like this. Of course, Eric, the way he uses alliteration and the way he uses wordplay, and he just places the right words at the right place. And I loved how, you know, that stanza that you pointed out there where she seems to dig in. And I'm on this page right now and I'm reading about the spider. And, you know, her mother was a weaver and a tapestry restorer. And, you know, the weaver, that's where she supposedly got the inspiration for the spider, because her mother was a weaver. And also because the spider is so big that, you know, under it, you have the whole protection of the family there under the spider. And, I think Eric, maybe he did some research on that, you know. It also says that Bourgeois said that this piece was representative of a place where she felt safe, surrounded by the spiders as her mother and the tapestries that reminded her of her childhood. And, you know, and she also, they also say that she was, she studied math, eh? So she probably put a lot of mathematics into that sculpture there, you know, that it shows women before their time, you know, already mathematics, which was probably a domain that mostly men, you know, did at that time. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, so I think Eric just captured the whole prompt, the whole sculpture and the artist very well, an amazing way in this poem.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you. He often does that with his poetry. I notice he'll often pay tribute to the artist and to
mm-hmm.
the artwork. And I'm glad you looked up that that information about the sculpture of the spider. That's really cool to know. And how did you pronounce her last name?
Did I say Bourgeois?
I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I just trust
bourgeois.
That you know. It. Okay, bourgeois. Okay. Well, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, a great comment there. And up next we have Here and Gone by Incubus 2. And it goes like this. You swept into my life like an ill wind, unbalancing me. My usual poise swept away like yesterday's dust by idle hands, searching for purpose, unsteady heartbeat with tracks scratched, jumps ahead of my usual reasoned self as I fell for you hard, and it hurt me so very badly, for you were no longer there to catch me. End poem. And he wrote to the quote, I think that if you shake the tree, you ought to be around when the fruit falls to pick it up. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he took the prompt and he went in a very clever direction with it. Like you swept into my life like an ill wind unbalancing me. My usually poise swept away like yesterday's dust by idle hands. Searching for a purpose. This is really well written, unsteady heartbeat with tracks scratched, jumps ahead. I'd really like that line. Sorry. And then he finishes with you were no longer there to catch me. So he is, he is the one in the tree, the fruit in the tree, I guess. And, he personified himself as the fruit and, the fruit that falls and that person that swept into his life and then, unbalanced him to a point that made him fall, and of course it finishes where they're no longer there to catch me. So I guess, it's kind of sad at the end there. But from what I get out of it, he personified himself as the fruit, which is very witty and very clever, I think. An excellent write here by Incubus 2. Sorry. I have a little sore throat tonight.
I can tell. Yeah. Well, hopefully
the air
you'll feel
conditioning.
Oh yeah.
The air
yeah,
conditioning at the hotel. Oh my gracious.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Especially. I mean, it's great when you need an air conditioned room, but sometimes it just really gets, like you said, it gets to you with the throat and stuff. And I really liked this. I have to agree with you. It was wonderful the way he personified or used the fruit, for personification, but as a metaphor. I thought this was a great write on the idea of being swept up by somebody, a being falling in love only to have them not return their love, and feeling, as you've said, like that fruit that falls and no one's there to catch you. It's always interesting to me how poets can write to the same prompt, like Him and Truth Chills both wrote to the same prompt and had different takes on it. And I always like to see that because it's really cool to see how people get different things from the same prompt. So definitely an excellent write and very well done. And let's see here. Did I grab the next poem? Nope, I did not. Let me go ahead and do that. First got to erase that one. And, oh, my gosh. Yeah, I have a stuffy nose myself, too. It's like it just, I don't know why, but it just came on. And it's not even like, it's not just like stuffed up. It's like running. So every time I'm on mute, I'm blowing my nose.
We have a good so, team tonight. It,
right? If you get to the end of a comment and I don't respond right away, it's because I didn't hear you over the sound of the low-flying goose. So. All right. And up next we have Let Me Paint a Woman by S. Sharp. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Mm-hmm. Let me paint a woman. Art is a woman, a palette of colors, mixed in the heart of necessity, painted with patient but deft strokes. Through darkness and light, images melded on a symmetry of grace, carrying burdens of lines and angles, a life thrown onto the canvas. True aesthetics, use, contrast, sheer rose, coral, from the shadows she is the light, a dollar store pastel, if you need her to be, God's masterpiece, the Mona Lisa, to those who visit her gallery. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and a beautiful write by S. Sharp. And he says in his AN, in honor of Mary Cassatt, who later in her life often focused her efforts on painting women, this is my painting with words to honor women in general as well. And so I really like that. I like that he pays tribute to the artwork of Mary Cassatt and how she oftentimes painted women. But also, as he says, the painting with words, I think, is a wonderful way to describe what poets do. I really like the lines, through darkness and light, images melded on a symmetry of grace, carrying burdens of lines and angles. I like a symmetry of grace, carrying burdens, because it is often through carrying those burdens that we do learn grace for others, grace for ourselves. From the shadows, she is the light. A dollar store pastel, if you need her to be, God's masterpiece. You know, there's so much within those lines that say what a woman can be or has the potential to be. Absolutely a beautiful, heartfelt write and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I echo what you said, but I also love the way he finishes it out. The Mona Lisa to those who visit her gallery. The Mona Lisa is considered as, you know, one of the most exceptional and mysterious paintings. You know, the smile there, you really don't know what she's, a lot of people have tried to find out what she's thinking there, the Mona Lisa. But also the Mona Lisa, through time, like another significance, you know, of the evolution of the women. I don't know if you saw the movie with Julia Roberts, The Mona Lisa Smile.
I don't think I have seen that one.
Oh, you have to see that, Pam.
Okay.
Oh, my gracious. It's so avant-garde there. It's, you know, she's a history, an art teacher, like a history art teacher in a university in the 19... You know, at the end of those years where the women were at university, but they had these courses to be good wives. You know, that, you know, they were at university,
yes.
But it was just like a form, you know, it was just to say that they went to university, but really they had all these classes on how to be the proper wife, how to cook, how to sew, how to, you know, how to serve their man, you know, and Julia Roberts, she floats in there, and, you know, she's this art teacher, and she, through the Mona Lisa and through other art, she reaches out to these young girls, and she shows them that there's a life without men. You know, they don't have to necessarily have a man in their life to become accomplished. You know, it's such a great movie. Anyway, you have to see it. It's really, really so great, and it's a real story too, and just an amazing. So that made me think of the Mona Lisa there. I wonder if that's what he was referring to when he mentioned that, you know, the Mona Lisa to those who visit her gallery, because the Mona Lisa, the whole thing around the art of the Mona Lisa there, representation of the woman there. But that just popped into my head. But all through this poem, I love the same lines that you mentioned, like the palette of colors mixed in the heart, you know, the painted with patience, but death strokes through darkness and light. And, you know, but just so excellently written. Just bravo on this, right, Scott? It's just an amazing tribute, I think, to all the women out there, you know, just an amazing piece.
Absolutely. I like those observations, and I'll definitely have to check that movie out. I thought I had with where it says the Mona Lisa to those who visit her gallery, is that I thought of the fact that Leonardo da Vinci was said to be obsessed with the Mona Lisa. Like, he actually worked on it over and over again and held on to it for years, even though it was, you know, commissioned to be painted for another man. And so I'm wondering if maybe it's a kind of a metaphor for being obsessed with somebody, being so intrigued with somebody.
Probably more that.
Well, that's the great thing about poetry and metaphors, you know, and, you know, that's the great thing about poetry and metaphors is that, you know, there's so much that people can get different things out of them. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, absolutely. All right. And let's see what we got next. All right. Up next. Oops, I'm not doing very well at grabbing the next poem, but we'll manage, and here we go, grabbing the next one, and all right, up next we have The Stag and the Artist by Papa Mama Jama, and it goes like this. Three cervidae deer roam the hushed woods, parading their brown pelts at the wake of dawn. Trees are ripe with green moss and honey yellow light, Stag stands in front of his cargo like a sentinel, inhaling the brushstrokes of the artist as the sun streams through the forest like the fingers of God, warming the bite of a cold night with pale fire. Stag is a scout and watchman, guarding his family like a caravan of gold bullion, nose pressing the horizon, feet moving, erect antlers primed as an unsheathed sword, and the artist spilled living oil on her canvas. End poem. And he wrote to the painting Monarch of the Forest what was her name again? I had it right. Rosa Bonheur. And Naomi, your thoughts on this, right?
Mm-hmm. I just love, inhaling the brushstrokes of the artist as the sun streams through the forest like the fingers of God. There's such beautiful lines in this poem. The way he plays with the color, the wake of dawn. Trees are ripe with green moss and honey yellow light. And the way he talks about the stag himself, the stag as the sentinel, and then the scout there and the watchman, he just brought life to this canvas, I think, with this marvelous, marvelous poem, And then he pays tribute to the artist, at the end, as an unseen sword, and the artist spills living oil on a canvas. So that wonderful, wonderful way to finish out this great poem here, Just a wonderful, wonderful write by Papa Mama Jama here. Just an amazing, lovely imagery throughout.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree with you. It does have amazing imagery throughout. I really like how he says, guarding his family like a caravan of gold bullion. Then the trees are ripe with green moss and honey yellow light. The fact that he pays tribute to both the deer, the stag, as a protector of the family, and the artist as the one who captures that moment, captures mm-hmm. the moment of a protector watching over their family. I know you're both from Canada. Is Cervidae deer, deer, is that a deer that's in Canada, or?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I know Canada is a big country, and I don't obviously know.
Well, I know we have a lot of deer.
Yep, same up here.
Let's see. I just Googled it. They say America, Asia, Australia, Europe. So I guess it's...
So they're all over.
Yeah,
they're
all
over.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
New Zealand.
Yep.
So.
Well, this is a stunning write, and I also really like where the line that says, inhaling the brushstrokes of the artist, because I feel like that line really conveys and captures the idea of the interaction between the artist and the stag. So...
Mm-hmm.
Just a really excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And
you really brought out hers in the colors in the painting there, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Well said there. And all right. On to the next write. And I'm so glad people were inspired for this show and this contest. I really appreciate that. And up next, we have The Deluge by Casey Day, and we have a SoundCloud for that one. Maybe I should go on
the
to another one.
This apocalyptic painting was produced by Winifred Knights in 1920. We argue in the kitchen about the end of it all. Will we be alive when they tear down the walls? What's it worth? Our blood, sweat, tears in our eyes. What's it worth? Our art or our lives? Let it crumble. Let them burn down the city. I won't be around to feel a word of your selfish pity. To the world, I may be just a girl who's getting harder to find, but right here I am. I am the queen of my mind. You can't take me. You can break me up and try. You can kill me all you want, but I refuse to die. I'm much more than this body and more than you can touch. And I swear to God I'll break the cosmos before I need a crutch. Let it crumble. Let them burn down the city. I won't be around to feel a word of your selfish pity. To the world, I may be just a girl who's getting harder to find, but right here I am. I am the queen of my mind. There's no end to the war. It's time to know what you're fighting for.
Mm.
Bravo, Casey. Wonderful read and write. Quite mm-hmm. a performance there. And, you know, I really thought this was a wonderful poem that had that tone of I am woman, hear me roar.
Mm-hmm.
And she chose a different painting and artist. It was a piece of artwork painted by Winifred Knights back in 1920, as she mentioned in her recording. So, and Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, this really hit home with me. Yeah, especially the lines, you know, you can take me, you can break me up and try, kill me if you want, but I refuse to die. I'm much more than this body and more than you can touch. And I swear to God, I'll break the cosmos before I need a crutch. You know, every woman that goes through abuse, can relate to this poem, I think, you know, and that has gone through abuse and that has survived. I think she did a wonderful, wonderful job of just shouting out here and standing up and, you know, being a warrior for all those women. And just an amazing, amazing, powerful poem here, Casey Day.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. It is a powerful write. It's got a strong voice to it. On a technical level, it has wonderful rhyme and flow. I really like the questions, was it worth it? Our blood, sweat, tears in our eyes, was it worth it? Our art or our lives? And I really also like, you can't take me, you can break me up and try, kill me if you want, but I refuse to die. It's such a wonderful poem of empowerment. Another favorite line of mine is, but right here I am, I'm the queen of my mind. And I like that she puts queen of my mind, and the idea
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I'm going to think for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely a powerful write and very well done. All right, and up next we have I Saw Three Cities by Arliss D. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
I saw three cities. Wind whips a clinging fabric around the orange pole of the shelf. Sunlight scores the simple plaza, propping up pointy triangles that support the sky. In the middle distance, fragments of three cities appear. In the foreground, the final step forward into the kingdom of dreams. Geometry gives birth to rooms, nascent mountain peaks above the horizon, a woman's scent lingers on the desert floor. No one occupies the space but the dreamer. No one dreams the space but the painter wrapped in her wrinkled sighs. Wrapped in the realm of sharp shadows, she treks ahead, the path ending abruptly. At her feet, the way haunted by absence, empty of direction, purpose, or hope, full of airy cities clustered on the preternaturally flat floor. I would join her, but the poles flying smothers my dreams, drives me into the triangle's point, into the figure of my dark night, void of any dictatorial light. Only exile awaits. I see three cities in the cloudless sky. None offer shelter, succor, or the consolation of art. I peer back over my shoulder on the lonely way home. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. Arlis D. was inspired by I Saw Three Cities by Kay Sage. And I really like how, I like this all the way through, but I like the mention of the shapes, the geometry, the mathematics used within the surrealism rite. I especially like geometry gives birth to ruins, nascent mountain peaks above the horizon, a woman's scent lingers on the desert floor. No one occupies the space but the dreamer. No one dreams of space but the painter wrapped in her wrinkled sighs, wrapped in the realm of sharp shadows. I like how within that stanza and through much of the poem, there's the contrast between the softness of woman, the soft scent of woman, the soft shape of a woman, and the sharp edges of the triangle, the path ending abruptly at her feet, the way haunted by absence. I also really like, I see three cities in the cloudless sky. None offers shelter secure on the consolation of art. I peek back over my shoulder on the lonely way home. I think so oftentimes dreamers, artists, creative people who see the world differently are often feel lonely, as if they're walking a road by themselves. I really thought this was a wonderful tribute to the artist and to the artwork, but also a relatable and emotive write on the idea of loneliness. So beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there's, it's very, very deep poem here, and very, very layered. Just draws you in. It has something, like you said, it's mathematical, but more than that, it joins the, like, I think, I don't know, the dreamer, the dreamy aspect of it, the aura around it too. But I think there's so much meaning inside this poem here. Like you said, the loneliness comes into it at the end there. You really feel that, she's lonely because of the sharpness of the world around her that doesn't understand, maybe, the artist that she is, that's the sharp edges that you see around. Maybe that would be it, from what I get out of the right there, because he mentions, the sharpness, the sharp, everything sharp, the sharp shadow, even the shadows are sharp, you know, and he and the wrinkled size, in her wrinkled size, the painter wrapped her in her wrinkled size, you know, so yeah, what an amazing, you know, deep right that you can look at from so many angles and so many, pick out lines and just read so many interpretations into them, I think. So in that way, this is an amazing writer. I really, really enjoy it.
Absolutely. Very well said there. All right. And up next we have There Is an Artist Within Us All by Stories Untold. And it goes like this. I don't know the artists above, but know their passion so well. It is the hunger to place your visions upon a canvas, and when struck, the heart swells. In seeing others' work, I study them with great muse and decided to teach myself, and I say it through. When young, I wasn't good, but I threw nothing away. I would set them up to view them, and through this, see my mistakes. I was poor and couldn't afford paint, so at the garage sales, old makeup I would buy, and my first portrait was of my sister, and it turned out great. I was so surprised. I talked to an art professor one day, and she saw me came to see, and I was doing a sketch and a few tips she gave to me. She said, your face is all in line. When your ears meet your head in line with your eyes, and your nose base is in line with the center of your ear, that's right. You will find your corners of your mouth in line where your inner earlobe meets your head. And as I looked at my picture, I could understand from that lesson given, she also told me that day, most people erase their first draft line, and the first lines drawn were correct in every way. I changed and started etching the backs of mirrors, but instead of paintbrushes used power Dremel tool, I would draw my picture on the back of the mirror, then power away. The mirror backing is pretty cool. The picture I use is one of my art pieces. Have sold some, and I add lighting in the back. It soothes my soul when I work on my art and allow the young take part. And poem, and what a wonderful right to pay tribute to not only the joy that artwork has brought her throughout her lifetime, but to artists everywhere, and the passion they have in their craft. And Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
Well, first of all, the pictures are amazing. You know, those are. I don't know if those are in metal or like metal sculptures there, but you know, they're just amazing. So bravo on that. And, you know, the way she talks about most will erase, but often the first draft line and the first lines drawn were correct in every way. You know, there's from that lesson given, she also told me that day. So she gave her a lesson, you know, a lesson that, you know, maybe there's a deeper meaning into that, those words that sometimes we try to correct or we try to redo things. But often, you know, our instinct is correct, and where we just question ourselves maybe too much, that's something I just read into that. But you know, yeah, I agree with you. You know, what an amazing way to show off her art and to show off art that women do. And yeah, just a great piece from start to finish. So bravo.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up that part there. She talks about the lesson that she learned. And not only did she learn that lesson, but she learned self-confidence and realized the potential of her gift. And I like how that stands, and this whole poem reminds us that, you know, women need to be encouragers to each other. They need to be mentors to each other. And the gift she got from one woman, she passes down to other women. So, yeah. And, yeah, beautiful artwork that she's done there. I really like that. Yeah, just absolutely. And a wonderful rite, as I said, paying tribute to the spirit of artists. And very well done. And up next, we have Waltzing in the Forest by Diane D., and we have a SoundCloud for that one.
Waltzing in the Forest by Diane D. The sky could smell the coming of the rain, so summoning the cloud to wake the wood. Where the moss and the murky mist mingle, I go to retire my mind and discover myself. Tawny leaves trickled like Rapunzel's hair down the furry faces of craggy tree trunks. They crumpled down onto the forest floor in the fallow where animals spoke to men. Heard the snapping of supple oaken twigs, of wing beats, of startled jays flying fitfully, and scrambling squirrels hiding stolen nuts. The timbers were broken open by the storm. I sighted them just before they smelled me. Their eyes, that calm before the storm look. They spoke, I heeded. They shifted, I didn't. You act like the prey, they act as predators. Yes, I knew that in the pit of my fear, I am privileged. Every moment they enabled me to exist in the midst of their boggy bedroom is a moment man and creature shall waltz. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Diane. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. You know, just amazing imagery all the way through with this. And I really liked that she went with the waltz music for the background to go with the title of this poem. And I really like tawny leaves trickled like Rapunzel's hair down the furry faces of foggy tree trunks. They crumbled down into the forest floor in the fallow where animals spoke to men. There's something very magical about that imagery. I also really like, I sighted them just before they smelled me, their eyes that calm before the storm. They spoke, I heeded. They shifted, I didn't. You act like the prey, they act as predators. Yet I know that in the pit of my fear, I am privileged. Every moment they enable me to exist in the midst of their boggy bedroom. To just really feel the privilege of living amongst nature and to acknowledge the strength of nature, I think is just absolutely a beautiful and profound theme in this poem. It is a wonderful write and very well done. And... Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, from the, you know, the sky could smell the coming of the rain, so summoning the cloud to wake the wood, you know, where the moss and the murky mist mingle, I go to retire my mind and discover myself. So she discovers herself through the peacefulness and through the, you know, through the woods itself and probably through those animals, you know. If you act like prey, they act as predators. You know, so maybe she's going deeper there. She's talking about, you know, life itself or our relationship to others, or, you know, if you act like prey, well, they'll act as predators. Or if you think you are the predator, you act as the predator, they'll be the prey. You know, it can go both ways. So maybe that's a kind of a metaphor for deeper meaning there. You know, the strength that she finds within the forest herself and by observing nature all around her, you know. So I think this was just an excellent, you know, rich, deep right all the way through there. Just bravo, Diane. Amazing, right?
Absolutely. And I like that you mentioned the observing nature, because I think that's an important element of this poem, is that it's about observing nature. And so great comment there. And all right, and up next we have Sisters Beneath the Skin by Captain B2. And we do have a SoundCloud for that.
Sisters Beneath the Skin. There are no miracles. There's only what you make. Tamara de Lampica. Poem. We undertake what we are told is the impossible, venturing out over uncharted terrain, ground unhazarded by the gentler sex. No guide for exploring these unmapped landscapes, only our guts, intuition, determination, grit. Unflappable, unflinching, unflagging, unfailing, we sisters beneath the skin. We travel the desert sands with you, Gertrude, ever exploring. The goal, not the destination, the journey to knowledge. Learning of other lands, other people, other cultures, other ways. Speaking the languages, living the lives, sharing the experiences. Going where you are told you cannot, for you are a woman. Being twice as able because, for a woman, it is no challenge. Far from home, amidst ever-shifting dunes, our sister beneath the skin. Take me soaring in the skies, Amelia. Fly free of your barriers. Take me aloft. Let me feel the wind beneath our wings. First female across the vast, unforgiving expanse of blue brine, look down, future, see your world opening. Then leave us. To lose you too soon, too suddenly, the world's everlasting, unsolvable mystery, whither thou art, we search eternally for our sister beneath the skin. Your brilliance buried by your beauty, we don't know the real Hetty, only seeing the luminous face, unaware of your radiant intellect and courage. You reveal the beauty of lovemaking, of bodies, of them. Yet your lasting legacy remains unknown to those who use it. Thus Bluetooth owes you its existence, the truth unheralded. Your discoveries a faint, indistinguishable scientific shadow. Yet global multitudes communicate because of our sister beneath the skin. Bold brushstrokes, audacious artwork, brash behavior, O Tamara. Paris incubates your art, fashion finds you, and you are ablaze. Celebrating the resplendent, unfettered, fabulous female form, persuasion with paint, concupiscence on canvas, orgasms in oils. Deco diva conveying a calmness of cubism in neoclassic style. Surrealist seduction of the senses as we bathed in the complex concord, compositions that freed the techniques of our sisters beneath the skin. Bound by no boundaries, contained by no countries, tamed by no time, the forces of nature, course driven by desire. Explorers of the universe inside themselves determined that if they were not meant to explore, they would not possess feet but roots. Each exploring their innermost thoughts to create moments that will evoke relatable emotions, deep passions in others that will live on long after 'twas done. So you become immortal stories, our sisters beneath the skin.
Great reading right there, Bobby. I'm glad you were inspired. She was not only inspired by the quote what was her name again? I'm so horrible with names if I'm not looking directly at them. Tamara de Lempicka, but also by her artwork. And what I like about this is, well, I'll go into what I like about it after I hear you comment, Naomi. So Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, I think she, you know, this is amazing because this sums up my weekend here, you know, my with my granddaughters, and I'd hear my granddaughter talk about something like the technology, and she did talk about the Bluetooth and that, and she says, Grandma, that's a woman that invented that, you know, and we'd talk about something else, and then she'd say, and you know, there's a woman that invented that, and you know, and just the proudness, and you know, the twinkle in her eye when she'd say those words. And you know, Ma, you know, or if she was talking to her mother, if she was talking to me, you know, and she'd just say, you know, it's a woman that invented that, you know. And I could just hear her little voice, you know. And I think Bobby just summed that up so well here, you know, with the sister, because of our sister beneath the skin. You know, so many women that came before will inspire so many to come after. And I think that's, you know, she this is an amazing, amazing poem, you know, on the strength of women and their diversity and what they can do. You know, all that they can do. There's no boundaries, you know, of what they can do. You know, I think she just brought that forward, you know, in this poem here, in a wonderful way.
Absolutely, and I have to agree with you that poem she did bring forward. The idea of, you know, past, present, and future, you know, all women are connected. We have the opportunity to be inspiration for one another. And that idea that, you know, even if we're not blood related, we're sisters beneath the skin. And Robbie, who's hanging out in Late Night Poets Room, mentioned that was a good line to keep coming back to. And I have to agree, you know, because a repetitive line should strengthen a poem, and I feel like that one does. And I like that she not only paid tribute to the spirit of the artist Tamara Lempicka, but that she also paid tribute to other famous women who have, you know, stepped over boundaries, stepped outside of the box throughout history, like Gertrude Bell, Amelia Earhart, Tamara Lempicka, and Hedy Lamarr, you know, and so just a wonderful tribute to women, to the strength of women, you know, and to women who have made a difference. And I really like that opening with, you know, we understand what we are told is the impossible, venturing out over uncharted terrain, ground unhazarded by the gentler sex, no guide for exploring these unmapped landscapes. You know, the idea of the kind of courage and strength it takes to go out into an unmapped landscape. or even just to go out on a new adventure in life, or a take up a new form of work or exploration, or, you know. And, mm-hmm. yeah, I really like bound by no boundaries, contained by no countries, tamed by no time, the force mm-hmm. of nature, course driven by desire. Absolutely stunning lines and very well done.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And up next we have Marble Determination, Missed Uncivil Acts of War by M.K. Rock. And we have a SoundCloud for that one.
Determination, Missed Uncivil Acts of War by M.K. Rock. Tuscan triumph was chiseled through monumental challenge, mountainous odds. Mary Edmonia Lewis, a July 4th baby in 1884, sparked a firecracker persona, non grata, a petite tripelotte, fuse under 5 feet tall. Liberty was seized by fist and faith, avid to her call. Daughter of African-American father and Ojibwe mother, denied by her own, homed alone on eastern zones. Ethnicity and genetics both strikes against her. A female pariah who fought determined to develop skills and techniques toward sculpting a creative life. An orphan early on, she was thrust into polarized climes, political and social crimes of punishing duality, wrapped fact, frozen hatred in an intolerant historical rhyme. Glacial human cores of prejudice melt far too slowly. Helms above endow a laurel of inspiration. Her brother ensured she attended Oberlin College. She was falsely accused of poisoning and theft. Innocence proven, but she was almost beaten to death. Art talents flourished despite severely salted grounds. Seed obligation of talent and visceral strength, swim veins of inspiration, determined to overcome. Accusation, cruelty, sealed doors, and deaf ears. Edmonia would bypass all roadblocks by seeking shores of sunnier reception and master mentors. Italy welcomed a driven artist, neoclassic training and accomplishment shown in Italian influence, cultivating and refining her craft until acknowledgement and recognition rose in a man's world. America claims its amazing daughter. Yet, her resilient bones still slumber on foreign soil. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Mindy. I'm so glad you were inspired to write for a Women's Day, and thank you for the recording. Very much appreciate it. She actually wrote to an artist I had never heard of before. So first of all, I was really glad that I got to be introduced to an artist that I didn't know and to learn her story. I thought this was an amazing tribute to this particular artist and the trials that she went, trials of being not only a woman, but a woman who was, you know, half African-American, half Ojibwe. You know, a woman who very easily people could victimize, could point their fingers at, could make false accusations at. And there was so much thrown at her from early childhood on that could have made her just give up. And I like how she mentions those details, like the fact that she was born on the 4th of July and had a firecracker personality. And was, you know, under 5 foot, you know. And I also appreciate how she mentioned that, you know, her innocence was proven, but she was almost beaten to death. There's been a lot of cruel times throughout history, especially when it comes to prejudice. And I can definitely feel like near the end where she says neoclassic training and accomplishment shown in Italian influence. And if you look at the sculpture that was done by Mary Edmonia Lewis, it definitely has a very classic Italian influence to it. In fact, if I saw that picture on its own, I would honestly guess, I would never have guessed it was done by, you know, an African-American Ojibwe woman. So it just goes to show you that you just, sometimes you should expect the unexpected. So, yeah, just an amazing, heartfelt tribute, beautiful lines, and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, with everything you said there, you know, this is just amazing, amazing how the she wrote tonight. This is an amazing written tribute to this artist. But you know, the end, you know, America claims its amazing daughter, yet her resilient bones still slumber on foreign soil. You know, there's a lot there that just talks there in those last lines there. Italy welcomed a driven artist, but, you know, America claimed her, yet her resilient bones still slumber on foreign soil. So she was accepted, but, you know, because probably she was a woman and, you know, with a different background, she was still, you know, at that time, you know, sort of, you know, laid to rest on foreign soil, if you want there. Yeah, just an amazing, amazing tribute to the history of this person and to this amazing female artist here. And like you, I'm so happy to you know, to have discovered her, because I never heard of her either. So, wow, you know. And, you know, that sculpture is just amazing.
It truly is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm glad you brought up that last stanza, because, yeah, that really spoke volumes about the idea of how oftentimes people aren't accepted until later. And it's a sad thing, you know, but it's, you know, and the fact that she had to travel abroad to find acceptance, you know, it speaks on a sad history. So, yeah, definitely an important, the whole poem was important, but that was definitely, and that's, you know, one of the great things about giving people, when you put up certain prompts, but then you say, you know, like, you know, pick any favorite woman artist to be inspired by, is you get to learn in the process.
Yeah.
Of running the contest, of doing the show, you know, so very cool. All right, and up next we have Our Dear Harpist Is Seen Tonight by Stan Petrovich 1.0. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yeah, Our Dear Harpist Is Seen Tonight. Speaking literally, with powder in throat, seeing too much for this night to bring water and wine, for guests to ply and redress new waves, open curtains for dull light and oddly shaped forms. The Viennese orchestra had not a single woman player until she came along, a harpist with special slender hands. Television unallowed to show her face, they let her out of the kitchen once for a certain occasion. Unmask those slightly string-thumbing digits. Never mind her bow, her bow and her lace, and complex threnodies of Mahler. Coupled ears of sober audience, and in the coda of the adagietto, all the grown men began to weep. She sensed that perfection, that satisfaction. Their tear duct seeped, began to sob herself. For everyone there wished to love somebody else. Her love strung in tight lines pointing up and out. To them and to you, suffering pain, old worlds will decay as we allow the best harpists to play in the cameras of the day. End poem.
Wonderful, wonderful read there, Naomi. And he was inspired, I believe, by, one of the Case Age paintings, or the painting Self, I believe. Let me check here. Yes, a self-portrait of Kay Sage. And what I like about this, right, is that he pays tribute to an artist of a different kind, a woman artist who you know, was a musician, a harpist. I thought this was really beautiful how he brings us in to the moment. You know, mm-hmm. The Viennese orchestra had not a single woman player until she came along, a harpist with special slender hands, television unallowed to show her face. They let her out of the kitchen once for a certain occasion. You know, and, you know, it's, to me, that speaks really well on, you know, on how too oftentimes women were expected to stay in the kitchen or stay in a certain area of life unless it convenienced, you know, men. And, you know, and I like also how he mentioned she sensed that perfection that satisfied their tear ducts seep began to sob herself. For everyone there wished to love somebody else, her love strung in tight, lines pointing up and out. I like how it connects to the idea of how music, of how artwork can not only emotionally move other people, but also emotionally move ourselves. You know, this is just absolutely beautiful. And another stunning line, I mean, this is great all the way through, but another stunning line to me was, old world will decay as we allow the best harpist to play in the cameras of the day. When we no longer, you know, keep people hidden, we no longer keep women hidden, you know, we allow them to share their talents to everyone. You know, the world has grown, minds have grown. A very excellent write and well done. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I love how he starts out, you know, speaking little with powder in throat seemed too much for this night to bring water and wine. I just love that first stanza, how he starts out there. You know, he touches on, you know, such a, you know, amazing the progress of what women, you know, it makes you think anyway, the progress that women made over the years, you know, just just to be able to vote. My gracious, it's, you know, it's not that very far away, you know, that we're allowed to vote. And when you think of it, you know, we still have to fight every day to just have the you know, to do what we want with our own bodies, with the abortion, you know, that's a continual battle that we lead, you know, all the time. You know, it comes, it goes, our you know, our rights there. And, you know, to think back, this is a harpist, but to think back in times of, you know, when a woman wasn't even allowed to play a woman's part in a play, it was played by a man, you know, way back, because women weren't allowed. This poem brings out a lot of thoughts inside me, from where women have evolved, and great right all the way through here.
Absolutely. And up next we have I Am Woman by Nan 529, and it goes like this. Stitch by stitch, lost in thought, I drift away, thread between my fingers, silky colors of the rainbow, hands showing their age. My mind wanders back to the cotton fields. Closing my eyes, I shut out bad memories. I can smell the sweet smell of Georgia. I am free no more, a slave, unchained. No man owns my body or soul. I am woman inside of me. Life's energy flows effortlessly. Carefully I plan my quilts, stories to be told as my needle depicts my art. I'm no one's property, a good God-fearing woman. Lines on my face tell a story, gray hair frames my face. Who would have thought in the future my quilts would be hung in museums? Born a slave, taught how to sew, that life of slavery is behind me. Using my skill, my fingers nimble work by candlelight, I enjoy how people view my work. I take pride in it. I thank the Lord for my good fortune, my freedom too. I stand proud, for I am artist most of all. I am a free woman. End poem. And she actually wrote a tribute poem on Harriet Powers. I thought this was just absolutely beautiful. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I love, you know, the first stanza, of course, you know, and all through, you know, just carefully I plan my quilt, stories to be told as my needle depicts my art. And the what she's proud of most is to be a free woman, you know. And it's true, you know, the freedom, just to have that freedom, you know, it's everything. To have freedom of choice, freedom, you know, to do what you want, freedom over your own mind, freedom over your own actions, your own body, you know, it's everything. And she really, Nan 529 really, really, you know, displayed that in a marvelous way there, marvelous words in each stanza in this poem. So amazing, amazing right here.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I like that she does remind us that, you know, it's a great tribute to Harriet Powers, and she reminds us, and this is a important aspect of Harriet Powers' life, is that, you know, she was born into slavery, and she was a slave as a child. It was first thought that Harriet Powers couldn't read, and that she did her quilts, the Bible quilt and the other one that she had, which was about like individual pictures from Bible stories, because from stories that had been told her, but it actually was found out later that she could read, which, you know, for an African American woman at that time, especially one who was, you know, just released from slavery, didn't happen very often. So the fact that, you know, she was able to use her gift and to create and to share the stories of the Bible in a way that people could get, you know, could connect with them, and an art form that people could connect with. I like that this is a tribute, but that she told it in a first-person narrative as if she was speaking in the voice of Harriet Powers. Yeah, and this is beautifully written, very well done, and I'm glad that Nan was inspired. And we're going to get one last poem in for tonight, and then I'm actually going to put the little bit of carryovers that we have on my Friday show, Break On Through, which will be Friday at 12:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time. And our last poem for the night is A Ray of Hope by Mithri Arjun. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, A Ray of Hope. Such is life, the only way to pass through is love and a smile, the mother. Passing wind bends its stalk, nudging the petals and snapping them. Heat of the sun shrink their fragrances, and existence diminished by the dusk. Tears roll down in both joys and sorrows, a difficult gravel or on a slippery rock. In silence we walk again the same path. Words wave, tears, and times of laughs. Dark words heavy and hard hover round alternating the shades in minds and hearts. A ray of truth revealed, stepping into the self. Every path in life has sides and ends. The magic of mind opens a new picture, turning small milestones big and dear. Time alone to charm and remain our friend. Each day counted in our life journey poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and a beautiful write by Mithri. I really like this all the way through, but especially tears roll down in both joys and sorrows, a difficult graveler on a slippery road, and the magic of mind opens a new picture, turning small milestones big and dear. I like that she reminds us that life is this journey full of joys and full of sorrows, and oftentimes it's by reawakening our hearts, by opening our mind to new possibilities, that we can find strength and comfort in every situation. And I just thought this was an amazing write on taking that journey of life and stepping, you know, forward and moving forward. So beautifully written, very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really thought this flowed so well and was so you know, so wonderfully worded there. I just love, like you said, the magic of mind opens a new picture, turning small milestones big and dear. Time alone to charm and remain our friend. Each day counted in our life journey. You know, our mind, you know, time alone to charm and remain our mind, our friend. You know, whether it's with other people that inspire us, like women that inspire us, or just, you know, our own selves, that we turn those milestones, and, you know, we open our mind to get that inspiration ourselves. You know, the word friend there is an amazing word to use there in that context. Yeah, I just found this was, you know, a great write all through. Just amazingly well written here. Just something so spiritual about it, and so it's just beautiful.
It truly
it's just
is.
Such
and I'm
a beautiful write. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the spirituality within the write. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment there. Thank you, Naomi, for hanging out with me this whole time. Really appreciate you. Thank you, Phil, for everything you do in the background. I appreciate you both every week. Thank you to Robbie and for hanging out on the LNP board. Thank you. Oh, man, I'm going to start coughing at the very last end of the show. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, who is inspired now, or who is listening now or will be listening later, we truly appreciate you all. As I said at the beginning of the show, happy National Women's Day, everyone, and have a good night, all.
Good night, Pam. Great show.